Welcome.
Ray and Faye today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA.
Hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Join us talking sports on this busy, busy Monday. Woo! A lot to talk about. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, hit us up at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com. Tweet at us. A lot of people on Twitter talking Ray Rice and more at Ray and Tay Today. Like us on Facebook. We welcome in the UrbanDaily.com audience and all the Radio 1 affiliates for joining us. And Ray, before we get to Sunday Night Football, we got the real breaking news. Ray Rice's contract terminated from the Baltimore Ravens. You say what?
Wow. I know that's not that, you know, profound. That's not Shakespearean, but
not Shakespearean? Wow.
So here's my question, though. When they issued the two-game suspension, did they not see this? Did they not see this tape?
They're,
TMZ has
they are
tape
claiming,
with the NFL?
They're claiming they have not seen the tape. That's what they said this morning, the NFL statement, when TMZ released it at 4 a.m. before the Ravens did the suspension, I mean the termination. Now, it's hard for me to believe when the police and the hotel DA have seen it that the NFL didn't get a chance to see it. That's hard for me to fathom, to be honest with you, Ray. It just is. In this day and age, the power that they have, I think they really took it all very, very lightly.
So you
I
think
really
that
do.
Goodell just turned the other cheek? I mean, he was known up until now, all the players would say he's operated with a heavy hand, and he's been harsh on the players, and he's been overly eager to suspend for many games. So now suddenly because Ray Rice, by all appearances, he seems to be a nice guy. He doesn't have any prior offenses. And so what happened here?
I can't answer that, but I got to tell you, after watching the video and really, really watching it, this wasn't the first time that this happened. And before I felt as if it was the first time, but from
the way they
people
acted,
who have dealt with this situation, he walked over her and sort of kicked her and slided her, you know, out the elevator. Like he wasn't in shock. Like if God forbid, you or I, first time never hit a woman in our lives, if we hit our wives, and they drop, we would be like, oh my gosh, so shocked. I'm so sorry. You'd be picking her up, kissing her. I'm sorry. You know, in a panic, I'd be in a panic, Ray. And my man was like moving. And excuse me, fans and audience, for saying this. It was like he was moving a bag of trash. And that right there was very telling to me, Ray. This is not – this has happened before. And I'm just – it's not a good look for the NFL or the Ravens. Hard to be a Ravens fan today. But as a lot of people would say, they finally got it right. But I think it took a long time for a lot of people.
And,
you know,
and what makes it even more confusing is that she was apparently his number one advocate for Goodell. They went in there together.
Right, which is a no-no, right, for victims. They tell you for, you know,
right,
domestic violence, you don't go to the person's boss and go with them. She shouldn't have been at the press conference. That was another faux pas no-no. I mean, they've handled it poorly for domestic violence insiders. They've handled it poorly every step of the way. And I think
so
Roger.
Now, go ahead, Roger. Yeah.
No, I think Roger, you know, had a come to God moment in the sense that he, you know, released that statement last week and realized that he really messed up. And, you know, now it's six games and then out the league. They might even change that again. It might just be the first time offense out the league. I think that video was so ugly. And it's like our whole country and nation, it shouldn't take that video, right? Just seeing the after effect should have been enough. So shame on all of us, right? I mean, because after OJ or, you know, whatever situation and domestic violence is, has been around forever, I mean, you know, we should be not desensitized, right? We should be more proactive.
Yeah, for sure. So what does this mean for Ray Rice? When does he – if he plays again, when does he play again? Or do you think he'll be permanently banned from the league and then have to ask for, you know, reinstatement?
Well,
he'll play again in the NFL.
I don't know. The NFL suspended him indefinitely after the Ravens. They came out 20 minutes or so later and did that. That's a good question. Will Ray Rice ever play in the NFL again? I say no. Although I believe in second chances. No, I say no because of his age. He's 27. He'll be out 1 year at least. So at 29, does he get a new contract for a year or two? Maybe. He's going to have to do a lot of there's going to have to be a lot of healing. I'm always about second chances. America's forgiving. I'm not saying that a man doesn't deserve a second chance. Believe me, I'm not saying that. But I just – this one, because he lied, right? He lied to the Ravens. I think he broke the trust, even his players. We'll see tonight. Harbaugh at halftime, ESPN Monday Night Football will show it, but Harbaugh press conference at 8 o'clock after a 6:45 practice. So they're getting ready to practice now. They're watching the tape of, you know, their loss to the Bengals. Pierce got benched first for career fumble. Forsett will probably start, and they're going to have to get another running back. But I just think that right now, the way things are going, I don't see a team saying, I will hire a 29-year-old running back, especially the way the league is getting away from the running game.
Yeah, well, there's two separate things. There's will he be reinstated, and then there's will a team pick him up. So I think the answer to both of those is yes. I mean, he will get reinstated eventually. If it's, you know, later, it'll be sooner rather than later, I think.
After
this
season.
The first offense. He'll try, maybe for PR purposes, he might just lay low, go away for a year, and then come back. I don't know if he'll challenge this or not, but I do believe he'll be back. I mean, he's too talented. Remember, a couple of years ago, he was an elite running back. He runs and he catches. And you know how the NFL is. They feel like they can rehabilitate anybody. And from all reports, he is a nice guy. He doesn't seem to be, and again, putting this domestic violence
but that,
aside.
That's the title of a lot of domestic abusers, right? Because they abuse, they have to sort of be, oh, my God, he's so great. Oh, your husband's so nice. You know what I mean? That's sort of their M.O. You know, he pets dogs and saves baby. You know, yeah, that's the M.O. So I don't know. We got to be careful. We'll see. We shall see. It's if nothing else, this was this is a precedent. I mean, this was a big, huge story. Will be, and we'll see how it all plays out. The NFL, they've got a lot on their hands. Because to be honest
they
with
do.
You, right now, when you've got that on one side, and then you can't compare that, you know what I mean, the two games that he initially got compared to the Josh Gordon, where you could arguably say that in a league that these guys are in a tub of ice. None of us go to work and then come after a day of work. We can't walk, Ray, and we sit in a tub of ice where these guys are killing themselves, popping pills, tooling shots, where you could be like, hey, in two states it's legal to smoke marijuana, and if marijuana helps these guys with their pain, then, you know, God bless them compared to them having to take Vicodin, shoot up needles, all the different other pain pills when they're hurting themselves, when they're already hurting themselves playing a game. And then on the other side, you had the initial two games of Ray. So there's a lot that's got to be fixed up. Policies change. You know, look, for Josh Gordon and Alden Smith, the players' union is trying to lessen those suspensions, and they might have support from some of the owners because, you know, people are like, we're paying these guys too much, and it's too valuable to win. There's too much money on the line for my guy to be out for 9 games, my guy to be out a whole season because he smoked some weed and didn't hurt a fly. And, you know, so we're going to have to see. Things are going to – it's going to get really interesting.
Well, and all I can say is that these two topics are now going to be in the public debate, and there's going to be some discourse around that, which is good. I mean, we need to get our hands around, first of all, domestic violence. So it's just absolutely unacceptable. And the only good thing that comes out of this is it comes more and more into the spotlight, which can only be good. So people know that society won't tolerate this, and that no matter who you are, if you're rich and famous, it doesn't matter. There's consequences to this, and this has got to stop. And then on the other hand, this whole notion of legalized marijuana, you know, that's got to go be debated also. So there's a lot to there's a lot to talk about.
I got a question, though.
These two incidents.
If you're a wife, though, of an NFL player, don't you feel that the police, the hotel, and the DA all saw the tape, and he got two games? If you're a wife of an NFL player, don't you fear for your safety, in a sense? Because, they got it wrong initially. So there was some sort of protection there, and it's still hard to believe that the NFL didn't see the tape. That's, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm a wife of an NFL player... I'm like, whoa.
But you're right.
What's up with the justice?
Not only the wife, but the authorities. You got to believe the authorities in New Jersey saw the tape, because it was at Atlantic City Hotel, so they saw it sooner than later, and they didn't do anything. What, did they go to counseling?
Yeah.
Again, must be a first-time offender. Must be that his wife stood up for him. But like you said, it sounds like the classic case of an abused, spouse or at the time fiance. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know, but it doesn't smell good. I tell you what, it doesn't smell good to me.
And this is the first time that you could say, oh, thank goodness for TMZ. You know? Now, look, let's leave
real.
This alone. Let's leave this alone, because it's NFL Football week one. There's got to be some good stuff to talk about. And yes, there is. And let's start with Sunday Night Football, Ray. Wow. The Denver Broncos, 31. The Colts, 24. I thought Andrew Luck was going to pull off the comeback and send it to overtime. They just didn't have enough. Denver could not. Their offense, and this is a question we got to talk about, because when they needed to run the clock out and get the first down and do something, Manning was shook again. The running game wasn't that good. The offensive line broke down. But Julius Thomas and Peyton Manning is going to get another 50 touchdowns. Interesting game to me. But you give the Broncos credit. They did what they had to do. Their defense comes up. Roby, the draft pick. Big play from Ohio State makes the Hakeem Nicks showed up. Interesting game. What were your thoughts? I mean, were you surprised at the early lead at the half? Surprised at the Colts comeback? I mean, what'd you think of this game?
I'm going to use a Denny Green analogy or a Denny Green phrase. They are who we thought they were. So the Broncos are basically the Broncos. I mean, they are a fantastic offensive juggernaut, and they added some talent on D that probably needs to gel. The one thing that's disappointing is they couldn't get two first downs in the fourth quarter when they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be an issue, right? Because you're talking about a team whose only goal it is to win a Super Bowl.
That's it. You could
argue – if it weren't for the Hail Mary that they didn't knock down, they would have been in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. They would have beat the Ravens and then progressed to the Super Bowl. They got to the Super Bowl last year and got punched in the mouth. So anything but a Super Bowl appearance is okay. Anything but a Super Bowl victory is less than expectation. So that's a team that deserves a lot of scrutiny, because, you're fine-tuning. So how you say, oh, they won. They won their opener. You just win and move on. Well, not really, because your goal is to win a Super Bowl. So I'm a little bit worried about their offensive line and their ability to run when they need to. So their ability to be tough. So it comes back to this whole toughness, Seattle. Can they beat an NFC team in the Super Bowl or even a tough AFC team in an AFC championship? The Colts, they keep doing this to themselves. They keep falling behind. And they said that Luck had, what was it, six times he had come back from double-digit wins. Well, you know what? You can't win a Super Bowl like that. You can win games like that, but you're digging yourself to the competition is too good. And they got away with it last year in the playoffs against Kansas City. But you can't do that on a regular basis. So I'm a little bit worried there, too. But they're a young – Luck is still young, and T.Y. is young.
But, Ray, be more worried for Colt Nation. Robert Mathis out for the season.
Yeah, that's a problem.
got injured training in what, Atlanta or whatever. I mean, and he was suspended for four games. Now he's gone. Where do you sign a pass rusher like him off the street? It's not happening.
You don't.
And they're young
guys.
Those guys
are hard to, hard to come by.
That's a huge blow, I think, to the Colts. I really believe that's a huge blow. And, oh, by the way, Emmanuel Sanders and Thomas, they're going to be fine without Welker for the four games, right? I mean, Sanders looks amazing.
Of course. They're deep, right. And that's not even counting the rookie. But, you know, again, back to injury. So jumping around a little bit, Jadeveon Clowney, it looks like it's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, you hate to hear that about the number one pick, and gosh, he looks good, and so does that Texans defense. Swearinger and Watt and Reed, all they might wind up being the surprise team in the NFL. And it's so funny, the last 2 years, the team with the number one pick made the playoffs, right? The Chiefs and the Colts. So maybe it's the turn for the Texans to get back to the playoffs from the number one pick. But, you know, so you got Clowney. Then on the Chiefs, and I was teasing Ray because he has the Chiefs defense in one of our fantasy football leagues. DeVito and Derek Johnson, all pro linebacker, out for the season. Achilles. Oh, that's sad. You hate to hear that. Jake Matthews went down, but it looks like he's going to be okay. Might not even miss a game. We had some concussions around the league. I don't know if there's anybody else. There's no more out for the seasons. I think there are a couple other guys banged up. But, Ray, that's a really rough week one, to get hit like that. That really breaks you, you know. So how about this? So let's continue to bounce around. Let's talk tennis. We'll give you the live update with the men's championship in a minute, as that could be coming to a near end. Let's salute the women. First of all, I think it's safe to say Serena ends the year on such a high note. She's back. And I think she is touching Chris Evert, Steffi, and Martina, and maybe surpassing them as the best ever. Her sixth U.S. Open, her 18th major, Ray. What'd you think about it? Her and Wozniak, you know, Serena was kind of dominant. I mean, it's just amazing. Great 2 weeks of tennis.
Yeah, she wins her 18th Grand Slam, her third straight U.S. Open. I think it's her 21st straight match at Flushing Meadows. And she beats Caroline Wozniacki 6-3, 6-3, 6-3, which is funny because at the end of the night, 5-6 hours later, they were taking selfies in New York.
Yeah, but they're friends. That's what's good, too.
Yeah, they are friends. But I tell you what, Serena is just – I mean, the only thing that can stop her – age can't stop her quite yet. It's herself.
It's her
physical, you know, she seems to be in great shape. Her condition, she has this great commercial where she's doing all of her conditioning and everything. But she's just
her
awesome.
Serve
I
is
mean,
awesome, right? McEnroe was saying it's the best serve I've ever seen. Her serve is amazing. Ugh.
Yeah, and on hard court, that's just good luck.
You're done.
Right? Good luck.
Good luck. Yeah. You're done.
Exactly. So she ends the year as number one. She's back. It's Serena and the rest of the field. And that's unbelievable. But when you go to the men's side, how crazy was it that on Saturday you had both the number one and the number two go down? And Federer went out pretty easily. He went out in straight sets.
Both put it on Federer and Djokovic. I was surprised. I was actually really shocked. And so you have the final of 10 versus 14. And then Cilic is winning, right? Number 14 is winning. It's 6-3 and 5-3.
6-3, 5-3. And Nishikori, give him credit. It's the first, and he's been injured. Everybody keeps talking about this kid like he's pretty good, but he just can't stay on the court. So he's had foot and toe and all kinds of injuries. But he looked like he was exhausted. I was watching some of that match with Djokovic. And the funny thing is, you never think about this, but he's the first Asian player to reach a Grand Slam final. So good for him.
Wow, that's awesome. Great story. And like we said, it's whether it's New York or being in America or the last tournament major of the season, you know, these great stories and the fans get behind people. It's a lot of fun and it's electric out there. Just
watching the crowd and how they respond to these players. It just sometimes it can give you chills, you know. It's really, really awesome. Real quick, you know, before we get to baseball and college football and finish strong with the NFL, obviously, I guess FIBA play will pick back up, I think, tomorrow. America, Zoom past Mexico. Like we said, it's just going to be America and Spain. But when you talk about basketball and the NBA, there's a funny story out there, you know, and this is with, what is it, Levinson, the Hawks owner? Yeah, supposedly there was a 2012 email that was deemed inappropriate and racist and this and that. And so now he's sort of fairy or he told on himself and he's talking about selling the team. I don't know if I buy this. I think he's just like, wait a minute, the Clippers got a lot of money. you know, I could play this race card and I can get out of selling a team. Remember, there's a multiple owners of the Hawks. He's the majority. And they were suing each other a couple years ago. And the fanship's not so great down there. It's a weird franchise. And he might be able to get $600 to $700 million. So he's like, this is the perfect time. Let me drop dime on myself and get the heck out of Dodge. What do you think about this? Do you think this is legit? Or there's something kind of funny going on over here in Atlanta?
You know, it's interesting because I never thought about that until we talked about this off air. And you said to me, this is smelling kind of fishy. Somebody's getting $550 million for the Bucks, and then a couple months later, the Clips get $2 billion. So Levinson may have said, let me throw up some racial self-report, some racial emails from 2012.
That's a long time ago.
Maybe I can be forced out of the league and I can get me a premium like Donald Sterling got when he sold the Bomber. Now, he won't get anything what the Clippers get, but still, you know, if Forbes valued this team at $400 to $500 million, maybe he can get $700 to $900 million. Who knows? The Bucks went for $550 million, right? These same Clippers that went for $2 billion were valued in January at $600 to $700 million.
Yeah.
So that's three times what they were valued at. So he's thinking, I'll force myself out of the league.
And we don't know with all the craziness with those owners. We haven't seen the books. We don't know if there's debt. You know what I mean? We don't really know. So this could really be a ploy to get up out of, you know, a bad dealing or a bad investment. You know, he's probably going to need. You know, even though it's Phillips Arena is what we said, 7-8 years old, it could be a little bit older, but you don't know. Maybe he's like, hey, the fans aren't really coming consistently. We just made the playoffs. I could barely sell the joint out. Let me get out of here while the getting is good. The whole thing is very bizarre. We'll see how that plays out.
Yeah. We got a caller. Hold on. Let's let the caller chime in. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Oren, Luke, haven't talked to you guys in a while. How you doing?
Yeah, Oren, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. I'm hearing you guys talk about this latest Atlanta thing. It makes me. I'm glad you're talking about it. I had a couple of points to talk about that make sense. Hopefully. And
yeah,
I guess the first question is, I'm boggled by the whole Clippers thing because in business, when you see somebody has a product that you can buy cheap, why are people buying over the premium price?
Exactly.
It's a good
question.
Since
when you have somebody embroiled with controversy and you offer them more than the value of the product?
Just because of the competition for it and because in America now, sports franchises don't come available so often and – I guess now it's more for, you know, the people who have the money. They're like, I want to jump in on this. You know what I mean?
$2 billion for the Clippers?
I agree. But for him,
for
Ballmer, that's nothing, right?
They don't own the arena. And ultimately that's what it comes down to because it's Ballmer. Because it turns out that we don't know the details, but the rumors are that the next highest bid was from Geffen and a few other people at $1.5 billion, which is also outrageously high sum, but this guy paid $500 million more just because he can. He's worth $20 billion, so just because he can, he wanted to secure the team. But you're right, though. Historically, if you have a distressed sale and you have a
yep.
gun to your head and you have timing, you're going to take a lower price, not a higher price. But
exactly.
only in sports, in this day and age where these franchises, like Tay was saying, these franchises don't come about that often. Think about it. Donald Sterling was the longest tenured owner in the NBA. He owned his team for 30 years. That means all 29 teams have turned over at least once since Sterling came on the scene. So,
and it's Los Angeles. So that's all the reason why Geffen and Ballmer and everybody was in there. And because that place is rocking and they're winning now. So they're like, hey, this is – Ballmer's like, this is – you know, even though I'm going to pay a lot, this is a cash cow.
But then what does that make the metric for the Lakers worth?
Oh, God.
But they own part of the arena, the TV rights. I mean,
Lakers
they were 2.5?
Yeah, the Lakers
million?
Are almost – they're the equivalent to the Cowboys in the NFL. I mean, they're worth the house. They're worth everything. They're like
yeah.
a small planet. The Lakers are like a small planet. So, listen, we got to ask you. You're on the phone with us. I need
all
your
right.
2 cents on Ray Rice. And then your 5 cents on your Niners spanking Rays Cowboys and how you think your Niners looked against a minor league NFL team. So first Ray Rice, what do you think about? Did they finally get it right with Ray Rice? I mean, you're down in the Baltimore D.C. area. Did they finally get it right with Ray Rice?
I'll tell you one thing. The Ray Rice thing really shocked me how quickly. They moved to this action today. I saw the news this morning when they showed the video. What shocked me was that they don't have a real. I think Roger Goodell is going to be. He must be in some more hot water than we. He must be in more hot water than we can see, because to go from a policy you made when you said you got it wrong to now you scrapped that and now you've done something totally different and suspended him. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, because he did deserve what we saw, but people knew she got knocked out anyway.
Right.
And I guess my thing is the video crystallizes it a little bit. But to me, the way I saw what he did to her, with the video we did see, he should have been banned from the league from just doing that.
Yeah.
Or suspended, I should say. And, you know, I just think that that whole organization is in turmoil, because they had a big coming out or a support for him.
Yes, they did.
And
Jim Harbaugh spoke so highly of him. And,
yeah.
and had the wife at the press conference. Which is just like,
and he never even apologized
that.
To her. That
nope.
showed me then that he was guilty.
Even that second apology at the press conference that he had, it was sort of still kind of weird. It wasn't like the whole. Yeah, it was just. I'm disturbed by this. I really am, because I feel like I bought into this only happened once, and that he's a good guy because you know he went to Rutgers and he's from New Rochelle and you know we all grew up in that area. But you know what? The way that he moved around and moved her around in that elevator and
oh, yeah.
hit
he's
in the video,
he's
done it before. Clearly,
he's
I knew it
yeah.
like I knew my name. I was like, wow,
yep.
that was
he's
a cold-hearted dude. He's done that
yeah,
before.
He's done it before, and he had more care for her shoes that he took off of her feet than
Woo.
He cared about her, because her
Preach.
Legs were still
Preach.
In the elevator doors.
Preach.
And that's when I said, this dude has no, he's callous. He has no
yeah.
care.
Callous.
He
yeah.
has children with this woman. And
yeah.
how embarrassing and hurtful it had to be for her to sit there while he made some nonsense speech to try to save his neck.
My heart is broken for her. And you know what? Also, on a private note there, shame on her parents. Because they're doing what was done to OJ's Nicole, where the family
yeah.
is like, you know what, we're living off this sports money, this NFL money, and this and that, and he pays for this, that, or whatever, and you expose your daughter. You know, I would never, you hear me, in a million years, I don't care what money you're paying, you cannot
oh,
hit
yeah.
my daughter. That's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, you
That's
know, I have two of them myself, so I would have met Ray Rice's career probably would have ended a while ago when I saw that video.
Oh, that's a father talking, right?
Now, I feel you on that one. Now, please bring some perspective for. I got my brother Jonas, my cousin Tom. We got my boy
mm-hmm.
Tony. We've got our boy Fish. We've got Ray. We've got all these Cowboy fans. Can we call Tony and change his name from Tony Romo to Tony? Oh no. What happened? Before I could turn the game really on and sit down to watch it, it was like, what, 21-0? What happened, man?
We put the pounding down on them, man. They don't belong. We had to just let you know from week one. And, you know, we just had to put it on them. I think, really, Tony Romo just, I honestly could say one thing. His back must be hurting. Well, he's not fully healthy. Those throws, he was underthrowing them. He didn't have a lot of zip on it. You know, he wasn't even trying to so much. Sometimes I didn't know if he was trying to force it or he was seeing it, but his body just wasn't agreeing what his mind was trying to do. It's just like he couldn't, you know, the mind was willing to say the flesh is weak. He couldn't even get the passes out. But it was, you know, if it wasn't for the refs and DeMarco Murray, they would only got 3 points. They would have pretty much got a thoroughly beat down. But I just think that the Cowboys are going to have a hard year.
It's going to be a long one. Let's hear what Ray has to say about it.
Well, yeah. I have my Cowboys at 6-10, so I'm not expecting much. I
just
do believe you're
wins?
Right. Yeah. Oh, you're saying less than that? You're saying they'll go 4-12?
I think they're going to go 4-12, man.
You might be right, man. You might be right. I tell you what, you are right, though, about Romo. I don't think he's healthy. I think he's good enough to play on the field, but he's not good enough to be what he used to be a couple years ago. He's not healthy enough to be what he used to be. And I think what happens is once you start playing from behind, you start doing the desperate things, and all the bad comes out of Tony Romo, all the bad decision-making, all the desperation, gunslinger, you know, Brett Favre wannabe type of things come out. So that's just a recipe for disaster. If the defense gives up points and he starts playing from behind and then he starts playing desperation ball, this is the outcome that you're going to have. He'll end up putting up decent numbers at the end just because it'll be playing from behind. But
yeah,
he got spanked. The Cowboys were just wiped across the field all game last, you know.
And then,
yesterday.
You know, when I saw Dez get hurt for a minute, I was like, oh, now they're really going to get the number one draft pick. If Dez is out, their season is over.
You know, let me say something with Dez Bryant.
Okay.
This dude always, you know, he's funny to me because he always is on the sidelines yelling, and then he walks to the locker room. This is like his M.O. to me. He'll be on the sidelines yelling and complaining about something, and then I see him marching up to the locker room to get some treatment.
Yeah, I'll say this. I think he's passionate. We can't judge the sideline stuff because we don't know what he's saying. Everybody says he's a pretty good guy and he's passionate. I will say this. He does seem injury-prone. He's always
getting banged
up. That's what
I'm talking about.
He's always getting banged up something. You know,
stay out there and play. T.O. played with a broken ankle in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that
was him play.
Ray and I love that performance. I mean, you could say whatever you want about T.O., but T.O. was a hero to most on that Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
Donovan McNabb, they couldn't do anything. McNabb throwing up in a huddle, couldn't even breathe walking down the field in no hurry. He, you know, all of a sudden he was West Indian. He said, me in no hurry offense. No hurry. Donovan, no hurry.
I think that Dallas has to come to grips. The coach needs to go. He should have went. Should have gotten rid of him. Should have got rid of him a while ago.
I think Jerry Jones, the GM, should go. Let's be real. Get rid of the coach and the GM.
Yeah. Well, he can't get rid of the owner. He's the GM. Yeah. So, but.
Yeah. All right.
Get rid of.
I know.
Yeah, great call as always. Great to hear.
All right, you guys. All right, good luck, man. I'll talk to you guys soon. Take it easy.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Your Niners look good.
Yeah, Niners look good,
okay.
But they play Chicago next week. We'll see what happens.
All right, yeah, you're still looking good, too. I'll holler at you later.
Hey. All right, thanks, Bye.
All right.
I'll be good.
So,
oh,
I mean.
Good caller. All right.
Yeah, listen, I mean, do we have another call here or no? We got
listening on the line.
Yeah, just listening. So okay, before we got pulled into the NFL. Let's get real quick. We got to talk a little bit about baseball. The Yankees, they honored Derek Jeter, but it didn't matter because the Royals put the smackdown on our Yankees. And right now, I mean, the Anaheim Angels today, they put a smackdown on Cleveland, so Cleveland's pretty much, you know, going to fall away to the wayside in the AL wild card, 12-3. And then you got Detroit, Kansas City, Ray, for 3 games. This is what it's all about. You start seeing these teams towards the end. They're playing each other, right? The Braves will start soon against the Nationals down there in D.C., and Detroit is up
what, 8-3 over the Royals.
Yep.
So what are you thinking, man? What's going on in the playoffs in American League and in this final crunch? It's kind of exciting.
Oh, I maybe it's just me, but I'm still a big fan of you're as good as your next day starting pitcher, and Detroit in the American League, maybe behind Oakland, but I think even better than Oakland, has the best next day starting pitcher. So I cannot see Detroit not making the playoffs. Can they catch Kansas City? Yes, I believe they will. Even if they don't, I believe at least they're going to catch catch Seattle. They're going to pass Seattle. So at the very least, they're in the wild card matchup, or they may even catch Kansas City. But I just can't see Detroit not making the playoffs with this pitching squad and the two-time MVP.
Yeah, well, Oakland's holding on to that first wild card spot with 62 losses, 80-62. I think they'll be able to keep that if they can, you know, get some more hitting and keep pitching well. But, you know, we got to give some props to the Mariners, Ray. They are not going away. They're going to fight Detroit, I think, to the last week of the season. So, you know, only half a game up.
Their pitching is unbelievable. And they've been, you know, they've surprised me. I tell you what, I thought that they had, you know, two or three elite players and the rest of their roster was subpar. But they are a great team. And like I said, their pitching has been unbelievable. I think it's the best in the American League statistically. Right, I don't know if I would say that they're the best, you know, the best five starters that I would put out there, but I think they've allowed the fewest runs in the American League, maybe even in all of baseball. So these guys are in all of baseball, they've allowed the fewest amount of runs.
I got to ask you, it breaks my heart to even say this, but are our Yankees done?
Done. So I said it a month ago. They're done.
Yeah.
Jeter will have played 19 seasons, and he will have missed the playoffs in only three. So that's pretty amazing to go 16 seasons in the playoffs.
No, this is 20th season. Right?
Not
20th.
Yeah. All right. So this will, yeah, right, 19 pass. So out of 20,
yeah.
17 playoffs, three non-playoff seasons.
No, that's amazing. That's
Did
amazing.
You see they brought out Dave Winfield and Cal Ripken, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, Joe Torre.
Joe, my only thing is, why would you do it on a Sunday? Because you know everybody's watching football. With all due respect to Jeter, it's not his very, very last game.
I think they got it wrong, to be honest with you. You don't do it against opening week of the NFL. You don't fight that monster. So real quick, National League.
Saturday.
Yeah, National League. You got the Braves, you know, battling with 69 losses. Right there with the Pirates at 68. the Brewers might not even make the playoffs at 74-69, Ray. Today they would not make the playoffs.
To them.
It's amazing.
That first half, they looked great, but I was suspicious.
And then the Giants are number one with only 65 losses in the wild card. So it's looking like it could be, you know, Giants and Braves, but the Pirates are coming back, which is good. We are family. The Pirates are staying alive, which makes these series that are, you know, coming up very, very interesting. So we'll see, you know, how that, you know, plays out. It's going to be this home stretch in baseball is going to definitely be, you know, exciting. I got to say that I want to see – will it be the pitching that, you know, propels the teams, or will it be the clutch hitting? You know, which one wins out in the stretch for the playoffs? And then, you know, playoffs, we know it's pitching and defense, definitely. So let's take a quick break, come back. We're closing strong. College football, NFL, recap and predictions for Monday Night Football, and we're going to tie in our segment, I'm Sorry, Ray and Tay Day. Yes,
welcome back. We're here to talk football.
This Saturday, Ray, there was some football being played. We don't even need to discuss Michigan-Notre Dame, except for all you need to know that Michigan got spanked so bad that now you're having these rumors of Jim Harbaugh leaving the Niners, going to coach Michigan because Brady Hoke might be losing his job at the end of the season. So that's all you need to know about how bad Notre Dame put it on Michigan. That was embarrassing.
That was pitiful. Embarrassing.
It was. You can't do that.
And it's the end of the quote-unquote regional rivalry for the foreseeable future. But, yeah, Michigan folks walked away with their tail between their legs. But also more competitive games.
Well, yeah, let's do USC first. Wow, overall a bad day for the Big Ten, though. That was impressive. You know, we picked Stanford. David Shaw, friends of the show. You know, you might have to criticize Pat Hayden a little bit, him and the coach, that whole little funny business. I don't think it's that big of a deal. Like, he should be out of the voting committee now, the 13, that's silly. But USC, they're here to play, Red. What'd you think about that win?
They are, and I thought it was good for them to win a game in that style and that fashion,
right?
Because that seems to be more like Stanford style, to win
exactly
a close, tight game, whereas USC the week before put up, what was it, 600 yards, and your boy Cody Kessler was doing big things, but Stanford actually held him to 135 yards, Kessler. I think it was, what, 15 for 22? Your boy Allen looked good on the ground, though, did run for 154 yards. So I kept thinking Stanford was going to win this game. Stanford's going to win this game. Keep it close. Stanford wins the close game. But I give it to USC. They basically kicked a field goal in the third and a field goal in the fourth, and that was the difference, right?
They're down 10 that field goal was half. Huge. What, is it a 53-yarder or a 52-yarder? That was huge to win the game.
Yeah. And this whole funny business of Sarkisian calling his AD down to argue
with
the call.
What
is that? So I just think this game meant more to USC because they were the road team, and it was a style that they weren't ready or necessarily willing to play. And they got into a slugfest, and they stood their ground with Stanford.
It was
so
a
very impressed with USC.
What – I guess the knock I would say on Stanford, Hogan, is he didn't play big time. 285 yards was not bad, but I just felt like he didn't really get any touchdown passes. He couldn't, you know, sustain the drives. I think Hogan had a bad day.
He wasn't a hero, Hogan's hero? He's not a hero
wasn't
to
Hogan,
most?
He was definitely not a hero to most. I was like, whoa,
well,
what
let's
happened?
Let's talk about somebody who was a hero to most. Let's talk about your boy Marcus Mariota and the Oregon Ducks coming back and outscoring Michigan 28-3 in the second half to put up 46 on what was considered to be maybe the best, certainly last year was the best defense in college football, and this year is still a very good defense. So Oregon 46, Michigan State 27. What do you think about that game?
You know, for a minute there, I thought Michigan State, you know, they were down real quick. What was it, like 19 or 18-7? Oregon always goes for two, and that first touchdown, it gets up on you 8-0, intimidates you. And then Michigan, you know, comes roaring back, Michigan State, and then halftime had the lead and looked good. And I'm like, you know what, they might be able to do this. You know, I picked them going into the weekend. I just thought that they were ready. And listen, it's no knock on any team to go to Eugene and lose. It is, you know, that team and that speed, but 46-27, I think I was more impressed, and I do have them, I believe I have them in my Final Four. I was more impressed with, you know, I have both these teams in my Final Four, but I was more impressed with Oregon, their defense, because I think Cook was looking really good in the first half. I sent a text to you that Cook looks like he's ready to play on Sundays, and I still believe that. I think Cook is really growing and getting impressive, but Mariota, man, 318, the three touchdowns, and their speed, and that defense really impressed me. So I think Oregon sky's the limit, man. If they can handle, you know, Stanford, USC, you know, both these guys. I don't know if they play ASU this year or not, but Pac-12 is a good conference. Pac-12 is
they
good.
They are.
They really
and like
are.
I said on our Friday show when we previewed this game, I still like Michigan State a lot.
Yes, yes. Out of the Big Ten. Because the Big Ten is
this
not.
This is a bad matchup. Not, this is just a bad, bad, like boxers, you know, fighters make, you know, styles make fights. This is just a bad style. And as long as Michigan State doesn't run into an Oregon again, they'll be fine. They may even run
what?
The table and
no,
have one loss
but
and go to the Final Four.
Who do they play? They're playing a weak Big Ten, and Ohio State is horrible. Virginia, give Virginia credit. Oh, my goodness. Virginia Tech, stand up, you Hokies. 35-21 in Ohio State? I mean, shame on Ohio State. Virginia Tech, man, they put the hammer down. Ohio State, number 8? No, they should be, like, Virginia Tech should be ranked higher than Ohio State, by the way. We didn't get into the rankings or whatever because it doesn't really matter right now. But Virginia Tech, Ray, that was an impressive win. And Nebraska almost lost to McNeese State. So the Big Ten, I don't care what people are saying on Twitter, the Big Ten, you deserve to be ripped.
Trouble.
They really
in
do.
Trouble.
Even,
well,
you know?
You know what? Let's transition back to Sunday.
Yeah.
So we gave a little bit of love to the college crowd. Now let's talk about Sundays.
Yeah.
And let's, like you said, let's weave in our segment. I'm sorry.
Well, exactly. Let me go first. I am so sorry, and I am so impressed with this game and this win by the Buffalo Bills. What we saw, I think, to me, was a Jay Cutler who just makes some of the worst decisions. And when he throws his timely Romo-esque interceptions, I think, you know, it just kills the momentum. He's throwing off balance. They wind up losing 23-20 in overtime. And, yes, E.J. Manuel, he didn't kill you. You know what, 170-some-odd yards passing. But what I liked is that they got the ball to Spiller. Fred Jackson did his thing. Anthony Dixon showed up. Manuel just, you know, massaged the game good enough, 173 yards. Sammy Watkins did a little. But I think that the Bills, they impressed me. And I am so sorry to E.J. Manuel and the Buffalo Bills because I didn't believe that you could win. And that was impressive, right? So I'm sorry, E.J. Manuel and the Buffalo Bills. Impressive week one victory on the road. And the Bears in the NFC, Ray, you can't lose that game at home. You just can't.
Yeah, that's true. I'm sorry. Now, my man Hank will say, don't get caught up. It's only one game. But you know what? I have to apologize. The Miami Dolphins took care of business. So first thing you're thinking, all right, 20-10 at halftime. New England's going to run away with this game, run away with the division. They may still win the division. I don't want to, you know, get crazy. They still have Tom Brady. They still have Belichick. But you know what? Good for the Dolphins. They outscore them 23-0 in the second half. Our boy, Mike Wallace, and they didn't get outstanding performances from anybody except Sean Moreno, right? He goes for 134 yards. Tannehill is a very mediocre 18 for 32, two touchdowns and an interception.
Nash misses Moreno today, I'll tell you that much.
For sure, for sure. So Moreno does big things. He would have got those two first downs. But the defense keeps the pressure alive. Your boy Cameron Wake gets his sacks. And Olivier Vernon gets his sack. And Chris McCain got his sack. All right, they keep the pressure. And you know that pressuring Brady is the way to go. So they stood and looked the lion in the mouth, and they just grabbed it. And good for them. Usually when New England wins, there's this amazing stat where I think Brady lost like one game when he, you know, is up by double digits at halftime and this and that. But you know what? Miami said that's the old school. We're the new Dolphins. And I don't know if they'll win the division. I don't know if they'll be any good this year. I mean, I predicted them to be about 8-8. But you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry for not giving you enough credit week one, standing your ground on your home turf, your home field. Again, without any superstar performances, you know, very solid on defense and Sean Moreno. And the very impressive win that they took
down.
But
I'll tell you this. When you said new school, old school, I got to tell you, and I said this to you off air over the weekend, I think that same situation would not have happened to Cam Newton, to Andrew Luck, to Russell Wilson, to Colin Kaepernick. The running quarterback who can throw can, and even Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers, they can handle the pressure. And Brady and Manning and some of these stoic quarterbacks, even Matt Ryan, who got busy, we'll talk about him in a minute, they, if they get the pressure up the middle and they constantly are on their butts and get them off their, you know, five-step drop or whatever, these guys struggle. And that's why teams have such issues with these new running quarterbacks, and it's the wave of the future. I truly believe that. And, you know, look, Joe Flacco might be the last guy, and he had a special defense. He might be the last, like, stand back there and gun it quarterback to win the Super Bowl for a long time, and we'll see how it plays out. But that, I'm just throwing that out there. Everybody pay attention, because we might be watching things develop in history. Let's go to the Falcons. I think you might have predicted it on Friday. I went with the Saints, but kudos to the Falcons. The hard knocks, you know, stuff worked for them. You saw some heart. Julio Jones is back. Jake Matthews gets banged up, but he's okay. Matt Ryan, that was so impressive. It was insane. What was it, like 448 yards, Ray? I mean, you know, that right there, that's what you need. He's not going to always do that, but three touchdowns and those yards, Julio's back. You saw some good things, obviously, from the Saints, Mark Ingram, and Brandon Cooks. Him or Kelvin Benjamin are definitely by far going to be the rookies of the year. I mean, Brandon Cooks looks like a veteran. That was a great game to watch.
Yeah, what's disturbing to me is that these two teams gave up 24 points in the fourth quarter. And it was beautiful to watch as a fan, but as a football guy, you're looking at this saying these teams are not going to go very far. I mean, the Saints and Rob Ryan, they need to do better on defense if they want to be an elite team. Because as entertaining as it was and as great as it was for the stat line and for fantasy, that's not an elite team out there in the New Orleans Saints. We know that the Atlanta Falcons, you know, what are they going to win? 8-8, 7-9, 9-7. They'll be in that category. But we thought the Saints might be an elite team. You're not going to be an elite team giving up 37. So
can't beat Seattle that way.
Can't beat tough teams like that. Can't beat San Francisco. So both of these teams have a lot to work on. But you know what? From a fantasy perspective, get as many Saints and Falcons as you can.
Oh,
load
yeah.
up.
So we got to give props to these new coaches. Minnesota, 34-6. Sean Hill gets hurt. Zimmer gets Zimmerman gets his first win. Props to Minnesota. Props to the Texans. And O'Brien, 17-6. The Redskins look really regular, Ray. And RG3, man, you know what? Kirk Cousins might be the guy in there soon, because I just don't think the Redskins have got it. Jordan Reed is going to be out for a little bit. We've got to mention him with injuries with the hamstring. And then who was the other new coach that got the victory? It was another coach. So I think the new coaches – oh, Tennessee. The Titans.
Tennessee.
They put it on Ray's Chiefs. Ray's got the defense. Tennessee, I got to tell you, they might be sneaky good this year. I mean, that was a good, solid win on the road against the team that made the playoffs last year, 26-10, and they locked Jamaal Charles. Alex Smith was horrible, no Dwayne Bowe, and no other receivers to throw to. DeAnthony Thomas didn't play because he was hurt. So what do you think about those three coaches and where they're, you know, going with these franchises?
So Tennessee, like you said, we thought in our preview that they might be sneaky good. I think Kansas City's overrated. I didn't have them in the playoffs. I had them at 7-9. And so I think Tennessee will be around the same 7-9, 8-8. So good for Tennessee. I like the fact that, you know, the rookie head coach, they did all right for themselves. So that's fine. I think they'll be okay. The really, really surprising one to me was Minnesota. Now, granted, it was St. Louis, but it was still on the road, and they still put up 34 points.
And St. Louis has a good defense. Everybody loves their defense, but
exactly.
Minnesota's we don't love it.
Their pass rushers, I mean, look, they were so good that, you know, Michael Sam didn't even have a chance in St. Louis. When you look back in retrospect, it was the wrong team to draft him. So Minnesota put up 34 points. I mean, that's pretty impressive. And, again, Castle wasn't burning it up, but Cordero Patterson and Peterson.
Yeah,
even my boy Greg Jennings.
Yep, I picked him up, played him a fantasy, baby. The veteran, Greg Jennings. I loved it. And, you know, we got a shout-out. First of all, I think it's a big win when Cam doesn't play, first time ever in his, like, sports career. He doesn't play with the ribs. but they could get away with it week one, right? They're like, hey, we're playing against Tampa. We could still beat them. And you know what? They did. But Tampa should have won this game. They had opportunities. And McCown, I don't know. I feel bad for Lovie.
But
I think McCown
shows you. It also shows you why McCown is going to career backup. You know,
exactly.
He can play in stretches, but it's hard to win the games you're supposed to win when you're not a career starter. I mean, he's just not. He's a solid,
yeah.
solid NFL player, an excellent backup. But when you start him, this
yeah.
is the type of
now. Would you say that same thing about
go.
Hoyer? Would you say the same thing about Hoyer? Now, listen, they had a great comeback. My Steelers hold off and win 30-27. I don't know if Hoyer's still really the answer yet. I got to say that their running game, Isaiah Cromwell and Terrence West, Ben Tate goes down and boom. Now that's a fantasy pickup. Everybody's going to be looking for Isaiah Cromwell. But my Steelers, I got to tell you, Brown, Bell, Blunt, Heath Miller, Big Ben, Steelers look good, Ray. Our defense was a little suspect in the second half against the run, but the Steelers.
I was about
look
to say you didn't. You're looking at the glass half full. You don't. You
no.
didn't like the fact that. That they you gave up 24 points in the second half?
I think I was very nervous. I think that wasn't too good. But you know what? In the NFL, right, you move on, you turn that page, and we go take care of Baltimore on Thursday night, which now Baltimore is going to be – they're going to be in a rough place. Two teams could be in a rough place at 0-2 real fast, and that could be the Ravens, and that could be the Chicago Bears playing against the Niners next week. So you got to watch those 0-2 teams. We got to give props to Philadelphia, but the Jaguars surely did look good. 17-7 at half. They were playing good. Chad Henne and this guy Hearns, you know, fantasy pickup. They were looking okay, but Philadelphia in the second half, Chip Kelly was like, can we play some ball? And I give you props because
exactly.
you said Darren Sproles would do good, and he did. Macklin did good for me. Nick Foles, he had his turnovers, but then they got it together. So, you know, the Eagles, you know, survive in advance, right? It's almost like the tournament. Week to week in the NFL, you got to stay healthy and you got to get the W no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of which, we're running out of time a little bit on the show.
Predict-
so let's
wait. Got to get the Jets
yeah.
props first, though, Ray. Come on, 19-14, Jets, Jets. Not that bad. Geno Smith
survive
good.
And win, man.
Yeah,
I can say survive and win. This was about as bad a team as there is in the NFL. I think the Oakland Raiders are going to be terrible this year. David Carr looked okay, actually, for rookie
Derek.
Quarterback.
Yeah, Derek
but
wasn't
Derek,
bad.
I keep saying David. Yeah, exactly. Derek looked okay.
James Jones, something, like I said.
James
you know.
Jones had about as good a catch as you'll see in the NFL.
Yeah,
the defender was right on him, and he caught it, kept his foot in bounds, and scored a touchdown. That was phenomenal.
MJD showed up a little, but, yeah, no.
Well,
Jeff, how about Chris Johnson?
Really,
Chris Ivory. Well, no, you're right, but Chris Johnson and Chris Ivory, I think that two-headed running tack for the Jets, and their defense is ferocious, Ray.
Well, they held Darren McFadden and MJD perennial All-Pros to, what, 13 carries for 26 yards, so 2 yards a carry. That's unbelievable. But anyway, props to the Jets. They won. I don't think they'll be that good, but, you know, you got to win in advance, like you said. But
so Monday
let's
Night Football.
Tonight.
Let's do it.
Yeah, exactly. We got two games tonight. Opening night Monday Night Football. So let's start with the hometown Giants. What do you think about the Giants and the Lions?
I think the Giants are going to surprise some people, and they're going to play a heck of a game, but too much Megatron. Even though the Giants' secondary is improved, I think it'll be more of a shootout than people think. So I'll take the Lions 30-27 over the Giants.
I like the Lions to win in this game. I think they win even bigger than that. I think the Giants still have to figure out their identity. They still have some question marks also at running back. The balance, Eli Manning is still coming off that terrible season with that taste in his mouth, leading the league in turnovers. I still think they don't have their act together. I think the Lions win 30-20.
Victor Cruz, baby. Okay, San Diego to Arizona.
Fantasy numbers.
Yeah, Victor. I need Victor and Phillip Rivers, and then I beat Hank this week, so I'm only barely half a point down. I think San Diego is going to – Ellington, I think, is out for this game, so everybody bench him. I think Dwyer's starting. But I think San Diego's just going to be a little bit too much. Both of these coaches, though, are you know, they were great assistants, and now they're going to be great head coaches. I think this game winds up being 27-24, I'll say, Chargers. Out here in the desert.
Really? Okay. See, I have the other way around. I have the Cardinals winning. I have them holding up home turf. I think that Andre Ellington going down hurts them, and in the long run, they're gonna their playoff situation is gonna take a hit. Even though, like I said, they're in the wrong neighborhood. You got to play Seattle and San Francisco twice. But I still think they win this game. The Chargers sometimes can can be erratic. I think this will be a shootout, though. I think Palmer will get the best of it. I like his big receivers. I like Fitzgerald and Floyd. But keep an eye out for Green. He might just middle of the season start taking over for Antonio Gates.
Gates isn't playing. Yeah.
San Diego.
So what's
your
score?
As Philip Rivers' guy. So I like the Cardinals to put up a decent amount. I like them to put up 34, and the Chargers put up 28. So I got this a very high-scoring game.
Wow. Now, we'll be back Friday, so we got to talk about it. CBS premieres Thursday Night Football. My Steelers, I believe it's at Baltimore, right? Steelers at Ravens?
Yeah.
I think it's too much. I don't like the way the Ravens are playing. I don't like the way that they can't run the ball, which is the only weakness I think the Steelers seem to have. I think it's too much on Flacco. I think it's always going to be a defensive battle, but I think the Steelers win this game 23-17 Thursday Night Football.
I think the Ravens, even despite this Ray Rice situation, they're going to band together and they're going to do just enough. And they know how to beat Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh knows how to beat them too, right? But it's a divisional game. It's at home. It'll be emotionally high. It'll be coming off the short week. I think that Baltimore desperately needs to find a running game. But I don't think that Pittsburgh can run up the score. So I think in a close game, Baltimore makes the plays they need to in the fourth quarter. And I think they win a close game 24-20.
So you believe in Justin Forsett?
For a game or two, but they're going to have an issue.
Le'Veon Bell, man, he's going to get a touchdown, 111 yards. Big Ben will throw for 300. Antonio Brown's going to get busy. Go Steelers! And how about Marcus Wheaton looking good for the Steelers? All right. So, look, we're back Friday. Great show. We'll watch the games tonight. Monday Night Football. Everybody enjoy. Should be fun. And the NFL's back. Thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
We're out. Have a great week. We'll see you on Friday.
Ray and Tay today. Hey, happy birthday to my son Elijah tomorrow, baby. Got to shout out my boy turning 15.
Happy birthday to Tay.
We don't on Wednesday, but we don't have to mention my age.
No, we'll keep it low.
We'll just say Reggie Jackson. For those that know, you know. And if you don't know, you don't know. Thanks for listening. Peace.